and welcome back to Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. Ever since someone dropped a radio into the dashboard, technology in cars has been, well, it's been constant. Safety features are paramount, of course. I'm at a certain age where shoulder restraints were options for higher-up car brands. Now it's voice-activated technology for our convenience, or heads-up displays that combine safety as well as almost seamless entertainment control. Silicon Valley and tech companies are bumper-carring each other as they jockey for partners in the auto industry.
We've signed up over 50 car brands that now ship Android Auto-compatible cars, and there's now over 200 compatible models on the road. We think that'll be 300 by the end of 2017. So we're really excited about the momentum there, and that rollout's been going great.
Between 2012 and 2015, there were six major tech and auto partnerships announced. There were six in just the first half of 2016. This week, we visit with a name we know, Google, and its major play in the car tech space with Android Auto. Android Auto has recently pushed out a newer look and an easier pairing of smartphones with cars. Here's my chat with an Android Auto engineer.
My name is Patrick Brady, and I'm the Director of Engineering for Android Auto at Google.
Patrick, thanks for your time today. Let's get started kind of at the beginning, if you will. So Android Auto, why and where are drivers using this?
You know, I think smartphones have become an indispensable tool for users really throughout the entire day. We all know this, you know, since 2005, really, everyone's been increasingly relying on their smartphones for all sorts of things, staying connected with people, getting information about the places around them and where they'd like to travel, and obviously getting navigation, turn-by-turn directions. Back in 2013, we started to look at ways to bring these use cases into the car, because we all saw that people were using their phones in the car. Users obviously wanted to stay connected while in the car, but there wasn't a safe way to do that, and there wasn't a seamless way to do that. So we started the Android Auto project, which, as you said, uses Android running on the user's smartphone.
Android Auto was kind of mentioned at I.O. this year, back in May. You guys had rolled it out. There were some other things going on at I.O., so I don't think Android Auto got the headlines it probably deserved, especially given the work and emphasis your team put into it. So how did rollout go for Android Auto?
You know, a bit of history. We launched Android Auto and announced it at Google I.O. in 2014. And that's when we announced, you know, the original version of Android Auto, which required a compatible car. So you plug your Android phone using a standard USB cable into an Android Auto compatible car, and then Android Auto shows up on the in-dash, you know, the built-in display of the car, and the system uses the speakers and microphones and buttons and, you know, steering wheel buttons and things like that in the car, the touch screen, to operate Android Auto. And we got great reception there. We've signed up over 50 car brands that now ship Android Auto compatible cars. And there's now over 200 compatible models on the road. We think that'll be 300 by the end of 2017. So we're really excited about the momentum there, and that rollout's been going great. 2016 at Google I.O., we announced Android Auto, a new version of Android Auto that runs on the phone screen. And the reason we did that really is we looked at, you know, how fast Android Auto was rolling out. And while we're very happy with the rollout, we know that there's only, you know, roughly 80 million cars sold every year. And there's still 1 billion cars on the road, over a billion cars on the road. And a lot of people have legacy cars, as we call them, that don't even have a screen in them and really weren't built for smartphone integration.
Right.
And these users want to be connected too, right? And so we launched Android Auto on the phone screen, which now you can download the app from the Google Play Store and run it. And it gives you, again, this driving safe, you know, built for driving experience all through a voice interface right on your smartphone.
And even without Bluetooth, I can still use this as I'm driving around. Is that right?
That's correct. Yep.
Okay.
You can still use it, you know, entirely through voice and hear the audio out using the phone speaker if you don't have Bluetooth in your car.
Sounds like there's a lot of pushing and pulling because this is a rather robust app. No matter how simple the wrapping may look on it as far as navigation or the interface for the user, there's a lot going on here. How does that affect battery use and any suggestions there?
Yeah, that's a good question. Battery use is, you know, the primary thing that's going to consume battery is your screen being on, mm-hmm. And then streaming media and things like that. So this, the new interface that we enable, this built for driving user interface, doesn't really consume a lot of battery over and on top of, you know, the screen being on, the network being used, things like that. So if you're going on a long drive, certainly I would, you know, recommend plugging in your phone, you know, into the whatever power the car provides.
Right.
But on short drives, you really shouldn't notice any significant battery loss.
I'm wondering, what are next steps for Android Auto? Let's talk about the phone version first. And if you know of any integration or anything that might be coming up, that'd be cool to talk about too.
So some of the things that we're really excited about rolling out with Android Auto, OK Google hot wording support is rolling out right now. So now people will be able to initiate voice commands completely hands and eyes free just by using the OK Google hot word. We're really excited about that. It's been a big user request, and that's rolling out now.
That sounds cool.
We're also adding Waze to Android Auto. So obviously Waze is a very popular community-driven, social-driven navigation app, and we're bringing that to Android Auto in the near future as well. Beyond that, we're continuing to update the interface and deliver new features to users. So you'll see a lot more coming on that front in the next couple months.
I love that. Okay, Google hot word, that's really cool. And of course, Waze, I mean, how many millions of people right now are leaning on their Waze app and knowledge that's coming in? So that's a wonderful integration. But during your answer, you did mention one thing that kind of, I'm concerned for you, Patrick, because, you know, you have new car sales, you mentioned legacy car sales as well. This is a really crowded space. You have a really tough job, and there doesn't seem to be really a lot of regulation around there. So how are you guys staying so dynamic and active?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's a little bit different from, you know, the smartphone wars of the early 2000s, because the technology that's being built into cars is really built to work with whichever smartphone the user has. There's only a few car makers out there that have decided not to integrate this smartphone technology. While there's not as much maybe collaboration in this space between the different smartphone manufacturers, there's certainly a lot of commonality in what we're trying to do, creating safer experiences for drivers, you know, so they can still stay connected and use their smartphones in the car in a responsible manner. There's a lot, I think, that, you know, the tech industry is learning from the auto industry as we partner with these companies. They have deep experience in distracted driving and how to build, you know, software that is robust and safe to use in the car. And so there's a lot of collaboration going on that front around driver distraction research and how we can really make this better as the consumer demand for connected services in the car continues to increase.
How do you guys keep things secure? Because we keep seeing those Internet of Things possibilities with some vulnerabilities for hacks and whatnot.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, you know, as things become connected to the Internet, you know, and you reference the Internet of Things, you know, we saw some DNS servers get overwhelmed by hacks and some Internet of Things connected products recently. I think as things get connected, they really have to be built around a security model. And that's one thing that I can say with Android. We actually built the system to be connected and to run applications from third-party developers that were not, you know, tested or built as part of the phone. And so we built the entire operating system around a security model. And it's a multi-layered security model that allows us to prevent, you know, hacks from occurring on the phone, but also allows us to react to those when they do happen. I think that's an important practice for any connected device, whether it's a car, whether it's a thermostat, anything out there to really think about. You have to design for security. You have to think about it up front.
Patrick Brady, he's the director of engineering for Android Auto at Google. Android Auto and Apple CarPlay are two heavy hitters in the space, but BlackBerry is making a play for in-car security, fending off would-be hackers. And car makers themselves are not sitting in idle. Ford and Toyota both announced at CES this year their efforts to support an open-source solution for software developers that could allow any smartphone manufacturer and any car brand to lower the barrier of having our smartphones hub our entertainment, calls, texts, almost universally. Stay tuned for more, because 2017 is going to be a busy year in auto tech. Up next, one of the world's largest gaming platforms, Twitch, has some new features. We speak with a Twitch executive about the present and future for spectator gaming and other channels. This is Techonomics. I am Jason Middleton. Please come on back.